Hello and welcome to another Trev and Ben podcast. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Trev.
How's things?
Yeah, things are okay. How about you?
It's not been a great week, is it, in the world?
No, it's a bit of a scary time at the moment, isn't it?
I keep going through a cycle of thoughts about the whole thing. I go through anger, I go through despair, I go through terror the moment they start talking about upping the game nuclear-wise. Last week we were talking a little bit about this, and I almost wrote an anti-war song on the podcast last week by mistake. I sort of feel like maybe I should actually do one now. I should sit down and do some sort of anti-war song. It's just so awful. I don't really know what else to say about it. I'm still trying to get my head round as much as I can, because there's so many ramifications. There's so many. I'm a simple man, Ben. I don't know whether that's ever come across. I'm a simple man, right? So they keep saying that it looks as though war crimes have been committed.
Yes.
And just before we come to record today, I believe the head of the whatever the organization is that would prosecute for this is beginning to look into it. But I just think, well, how long is that going to take? If Putin has committed war crimes, why aren't we just going in and arresting him? Well, I don't understand this sort of, this is the problem with politics of the world. And that's what I don't understand, because I'm such a simple man. It's like, it seems that we go in, we arrest him. I don't think there's going to be too many complaints amongst the Russian people, because the young Russian people seem to be totally against the actions. They don't want war. Not just young people.
Putin might have a I'd like to see you try type attitude, which could be difficult for the arresting officer who's going to be the one who goes in there.
See, that's what I mean. I'm a simple man. I don't think these things through. I just think they could just, when you see them on the telly and they got that kind of ram, the ram thing to bang on through the doors.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
just
I know what you mean.
Turn up at the Kremlin with one of those. Just bust the door down, go, don't move, please, don't move. And then just put him in cuffs and all of his cohorts, all of his little mates, and drag him away in the back of a police van.
I dare say the Kremlin is probably quite heavily armed, wouldn't you have thought?
Go in undercover.
Oh, yeah.
Abseil down. You see him abseiling down the walls. Let's do all of that stuff.
Okay.
Just get in there.
I think it could be difficult, but I like your spirit.
Does it make you think, though, when you see what's going on, and this is all going to be quite, it's all very upsetting, isn't it, when you see all the stuff on the telly that's going on?
Well, I've never had the luxury of going to the Ukraine. My dad has been to the Ukraine, Kiev, in fact. By the way, while we're on the subject of that, when all this started kicking off, I did have to phone my dad. As I say, he has been there. And he's quite depressed with the whole thing, because he said it's an absolutely stunningly beautiful place. And it's a real shame to, see it getting blown to bits by the Russians. But what I called him for was, I had to say, Dad.
I know what you're going to say.
Go on.
Is it the same as Kiev? Because they call it Kiev.
I said, Dad. Is there another place in the Ukraine called Kiev? Because I've been saying Kiev my whole life, and they're talking on the news about some shit going down in Kiev.
Yes.
And he sort of sighed and said, no, it's the same place.
Yes.
But it's more understood that the Ukrainian pronunciation is Kiev.
Yes. So now we can have chicken Kiev, if we so wish.
So that cleared that up.
But good, I'm glad that. See, we're simple men, Ben. I don't know how many times we have to say it. We're two very stupid people who have no real understanding of the world and the serious matters that
so
go
he was,
on.
He was depressed enough, and then I called him up and he thought, oh, my idiot son's calling me now.
But does it make you think that if you were in that situation, everyone's sort of like, all the men have been told they can't leave and they've got to fight.
Yeah.
I mean, and they're being handed guns, right? Does it make you think, would I be that brave? I suppose the anger when somebody invades your country kind of kicks in. But I kind of sit there watching it. I would just be I'd be a dreadful soldier with training, let alone with very little. And the bravery, I just don't know how brave I am. But until you're in that situation, I suppose you don't know.
I think a lot of men at this point like to sort of say, oh yeah, mate, I'd stand and fight. I would. Now, I wouldn't. I'd buy a dress and a wig, and I'd try and pass myself off as some 6'5" female basketball player. See if I could get out of the country.
I mean, that's about the highest level of cowardice we've come across so far.
Be a deserter.
You're trying to get out as a drag queen.
Yeah.
No offence, Ben. I think people would see through it.
Do you think I wouldn't make a very pretty lady?
Well, I'm just trying to picture it in my mind, Ben. And I probably, because as you say, you're 6'5".
Yeah.
I mean, that's a very tall lady.
Yes, but some women can be very tall.
Yes. I suppose the bonus is you're facially, you're not very hirsute.
No, the alopecia is taking care of most of the body hair. So
that's a
maybe
bonus.
I could be an Olympic swimming basketball player.
Yes, very streamlined.
You'd be very aerodynamic.
You'd be a very aerodynamic drag queen if it came to it. You could be used as a missile if if needed, because you would fly through the air with such grace and power. Scary times, though, Ben.
They are scary times. I tell you what, Volodymyr Zelensky, he is an interesting man.
Yes, I mean, because it's sort of one of those things where it's compelling viewing. I'm watching very little other than news right now. And he is he's coming across as quite a heroic figure at the moment. When you look at where he's come from, it's a fascinating story.
Yeah, he formerly was a comedy actor, and he appeared in a TV show called Servant of the People, which is a sort of political comedy. And he actually played, bizarrely, the president of the Ukraine.
Yes.
The program ran for about 4 years. And then when it finished, the TV station who aired the show actually started the Servant of the People party, and he ran for president and won and became the actual president.
Yes.
Under a government with the party of the same name.
It is incredible. It would seem from an outsider's perspective, a very popular president.
I mean, I'm sure there would be some people who say, you know, nobody's perfect and I've got no idea about his policies or anything like that. But he seems to be doing a very good job. And I think he's quite well liked, from what I can tell, by certainly the rest of the world and the Ukraine, I think.
Yes.
And he's being a damn sight braver than I think most political leaders would be in his situation.
Who would we want? Like, if we could pick a comedian to become, I mean, we very nearly got one. But if we could pick a comedian to be our leader, who would you want?
Well, who played the Prime Minister in the thick of it? Because that would be the same thing here, wouldn't it? The thick of it party.
Yes. Yes. Do you know, I don't actually know who played the Prime. I don't know if, because I must admit, I never really watched the thick of it. So all I know is there was Malcolm Tucker, but he was more like the spin doctor. He was kind of well known. I don't know who actually was the Prime Minister, because I think it was all about behind the scenes. So I kind of, there probably was the Prime Minister, but I didn't really watch. I know it's supposed to be brilliant. I just didn't really watch it.
No, I've not seen it either. We should have probably researched this before we started talking about it.
We should have done. Yeah.
So who would be our sort of decent comedian leader?
I'll tell you who I would want. And unfortunately, he's not in the best of health. But Billy Connolly.
Yeah, I don't think he'd take any shit.
No, he wouldn't take any shit. But also, he seems to, I mean, I'm a little bit in love with the man, if I'm honest. And I think he's got an understanding of people and an understanding of the world that has just come from a lifetime of travelling, of being around people. Just, I don't know, he's just got this, to me, he's a very wise man. And I love that he looks for the good in things.
That's great. I'll go along with that. We'll have the big yin as but hang on, can a Scot be Prime Minister?
Yeah, Gordon Brown was a Scot.
Of course he was. Yeah, of course he was.
Yeah.
I thought we might have to have the sort of...
Until they take their independence, Ben, we can have one.
I thought he'd have to be the first leader, but no, that's okay. Yeah. We'll happily have him.
so we could have him, couldn't we? I mean, you could have someone. I think Stephen Fry would be a good diplomat.
Yes, he would.
He might make a good Prime Minister. I don't know. I mean, sort of the younger comedians, Russell Howard.
Rowan Atkinson could be good as well.
Rowan Atkinson. I think he's a very shy man in real life.
Yeah, I suppose so.
I think you need someone who's a slight extrovert.
Okay.
I'd say the other interesting thing that I heard about the Ukrainian president.
Go on.
I'm assuming this is true. It's been doing the rounds on social media today. Is that he was the voice of Paddington Bear in the Ukrainian version?
Well, I mean, it's perfectly plausible if he was a budding actor.
Yeah.
Could have done a bit of voiceover on the side.
Who's the voice of Paddington in the English version? What's his name?
I'll have to look it up. Bear with me.
It's going to come to me in a minute.
I'll see if you can work. See if you can remember faster than I can Google it.
Okay, I can see his face. Ben Whishaw, I think, is his name.
Well, the first thing when you put up voice of Paddington into Google is Zelensky did the voice for Ukrainian Paddington.
Right, so that, it must be true. It must be true because the internet's always right.
And you are correct, Ben Whishaw. You could remember it faster than I could Google it. So there you go. Done.
I am very much, I'm like a human Alexa, but just a very, very stupid version. I can only answer certain questions. Just try that out. Imagine that I'm the new thing. I'm the new technology that's being touted around. It's Trev, your new helper.
Okay.
You can ask Trev anything. Just
so how you'd say, like, hey, Siri.
Yeah, yeah.
Oi, Trev!
Yeah, I'd like a little bit more respect, if possible. I might be slightly more cantankerous than the ones that are around right now.
So what command, what words do we use to trigger the Trev app?
I don't mind just a hey, Trev. I don't mean, oh, Trev, would you mind answering the following? Just a nice, polite, gentle requests. No need to shout at me. There's no need for rudeness. I won't respond, actually, if there's any...
Oh, right.
If I gather any kind of hint of disrespect, I mean, unlike Alexa, who, if you are rude to, sometimes just ignores you, just gives you the silent treatment.
Yeah.
I would probably respond somehow. But, let's test it out. You've just unboxed me.
I found out recently that my Siri... I think it's kind of fed up with me because it used to be quite chatty and helpful. Yeah. But now when I talk to it, there'll be a pause and it'll just come and go,
I mean, are you asking the same sort of questions that you phoned your dad about? So here we go. What ridiculous thing are you going to ask now?
I do find myself shouting at it quite a lot when it's giving me information I don't want. I say, shut up, right, Siri, shut it, shut up, shut up.
But again, that's my unique selling point, is that I won't give you any more information than the basics, because that is annoying, isn't it? You go, oh, Alexa, can you tell me about so-and-so? And it'll take about five times with Alexa before they actually find the right person. And then eventually go, oh, I found this on Wikipedia. They were born in 1973. They grew up in London. At the age of 17, I didn't want to know that. I just wonder how fucking old they are.
So it would work something along the lines of, hey, Trev.
Yes.
Ooh. You're doing Stephen Fry.
that's my helper voice.
Hey, Trev.
Yes.
No, sorry, it's not Stephen Fry. It's Count Arthur Strong. Hey, Trev, who played the voice of Paddington Bear in the UK?
I think you'll find that was Ben Whishaw. Have a lovely day.
Oh, that's a very nice touch.
Very polite, aren't I? Very polite. Try something else.
Okay, I mean... hey, Trev.
Yes?
Who won the inaugural World Cup?
I think you'll find that was Uruguay.
Very good.
Thank you very much. Have a lovely day. It's good, isn't it? It's a good product.
You've already developed a sort of catchphrase as well. It's quite good.
Yeah, yeah. And it leaves you feeling happy once you've spoken to the Trev.
It does.
It? Try one more. See if we can find... Or experiment. Maybe try a little bit of rudeness. Let's see how it would respond.
Okay, well, first of all, we'll try the Trev app one more time. Let's try it. So will I get... Well, let's find out. Oi, Trev.
I would not respond to such rudeness.
Okay. Hey, Trev.
Yes.
Who was the third man in space with Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong?
The third man in space was Michael Collins.
I've got to say, this is just a way of you showing off now, isn't it?
Thank you very much. Have a lovely day. Now, Ben, because of the state of the world, and because I have done very little else in the past week since we last recorded, other than listen to and watch the news, I came to the recording of this podcast with very little to talk about.
Oh, good.
So what I've done is I've found a random conversation starter generator.
Okay, this could be useful.
So I thought we could go through, generate a few conversation starters and see what happens.
We could have used this about 100 episodes ago.
We could have done, yeah. We can just use this from now on in and pretend that everything was our idea.
Yeah, great idea.
Right. So I'll generate the first question, shall I?
Okay.
Okay. Do you like to dance and sing?
Yeah, I'm right.
it's the first question that's been generated, so we've got to answer it. And I've retired from dancing.
I dance mainly at weddings.
Weddings, right?
If I've you know, greased the wheels, shall we say?
But do you feel like if you've had a few drinks, do you feel that you want to dance, or is it some sort of peer pressure that is taking you up onto the dance floor? Because we talked about this before. I don't like people dragging you up on dance floors. If you feel that naturally you're being called by the music to the dance floor, is that what happens to you after a few beers?
It's usually worse at family weddings because male harma dancing is a thing to be seen.
So we didn't do any dancing at your wedding. I don't remember doing any.
I don't think we did.
I think you and Mrs. Ben had your first dance, obviously, but that's the only dancing I remember.
Yeah, I mean, have you ever seen six men in unison playing the air trumpet?
No, but I'd like to see that.
We all have exactly the same style. We were never taught. You're just born with it.
It's a harma trait. It's in the genes.
There's a very lean back, lean forward, pull back the trumpet, and then lean forward and push out the trumpet. It's very...
When you say trumpet, do you mean... Because I'm picturing more a saxophone from your movements, but do you mean a trumpet?
I do mean a trumpet, yes.
Right, so two hands...
With the big slidey bar.
Well, that's a trombone.
Trombone, that might be what I mean. Yes, let's trombone.
Let's get the right brass instrument. Let's get the right air brass instrument.
Yes, air trombone is what we do.
Air trombone.
So you all lean back with the sort of hands together.
Yeah.
And then you lean forward quite dramatically and extend the right hand as you extend the trumpet. Trombone. I really can't get that in my head.
Now, here's an interesting thing. This tends to be on the male line of the harma gene.
Yes, yes. And I don't think it even matters if there's a trombone in the song you're doing. It's just the go-to move.
Well, to be honest, there aren't that many songs with trombones in unless the music is big band.
Well, I think it may have been born from... someone for some reason put a track from Les Miserables on.
When you say someone, you mean you, because I've been in a pub with you where you put a track from Les Miserables on the jukebox, after which I'm sure we were barred.
Yeah, that could have been me. It sounds like me.
Now, the question I've got is there natural rhythm in the harma DNA as well? Are you all doing the moves at exactly the same time? If I was to see you all lined up, the six of you, are you all doing everything in exactly, is it well choreographed? Just naturally, does it come across as well choreographed, or is it a bit straggled? Because you're saying, oh yeah, you're saying, oh yeah, as a participant. As a viewer, I'm imagining I'm looking at this thinking, I mean, it's all over the shop.
It feels like we're all in sync, because it's basically just one move repeated, so it's not hard to get it in sync.
So if you were actually playing the trombone, it would be two notes is all we'd get. Six of you playing two notes at the same time.
Yes, that's about the gist of it.
I'd like to see this. I'm a bit disappointed. Is there video evidence? There's got to be video evidence somewhere that someone would have a wedding video of the harma, the male harma clan doing the air trombones, because that would be video gold, mate.
I don't think there is. I hope there isn't. It's kind of like as rare as Halley's Comet, that the sort of the conditions have to be just right.
it's like a miracle when it happens. It's one of those amazing moments.
So I'm not much of a dancer. I'm the least coordinated person. I have trouble walking in a straight line.
I mean, you're very clumsy.
I am clumsy.
You are very clumsy.
Constantly banging into things.
Do you have a little sort of little dance at home on your own? Sometimes, I don't mean like a proper dance, but I mean sometimes, because as I say, I've retired from dancing in public, but there are times when I'm at home and maybe the radio's on and there's a song I quite like and I'm just walking up the hallway and I can't help myself. There's just a little movement. It's not, I don't sort of go into full dance, but there's just a little movement in time to the music.
I think that I don't need music to dance. I think the last time I danced was very recently, actually. I think it was last week. I got very overexcited watching Amir Khan losing.
Oh, you dance when you're excited. Okay.
Yeah, I got a bit overexcited and had a little dance. And it usually ends with Mrs. Ben saying, sit down before you hurt yourself.
Before you ruin another television.
Yeah. So I tend to take that advice and sit back down and calm down. Singing, though, I would never go to a pub and like do an open mic singing.
No.
Or a karaoke thing.
No.
But I will happily belt out a song if I'm on my own in the van,
around
the house.
You? Again, not in public. I mean, I've done karaoke once, and I think I've retired from that. That's never happening again. I mean, I did all right.
Have you got a favourite song to absolutely go for when you are going to sing?
I'll tell you the one I did, which I've got to tell you, it went down well, because even the next morning, somebody who was there mentioned it. But I like to do Louis Armstrong, What a Wonderful World, but I do it in the Louis Armstrong voice.
Now, is that fair, or is that considered... Would you be cancelled for that these days? I'm not going to say racist. I'm going to ask you if you'd be cancelled for it.
I don't think, because I'm just impersonating his voice. I say, Trace, I'm great. You really go for it.
That was terrible, may I say.
Yeah, I'm better after about 7 tequilas.
I was going to say, that was Louis Armstrong on 40 fags a day, that was.
Right, should we do another question?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. What is something new you've learned in the last week?
Kiev.
Kiev.
It's Kiev, not Kiev. Been saying that wrong for 33 years.
Old Pearl Harbor, he's celebrating, he's got the air trombone out. Going, I've taught him something.
You?
The president of Ukraine was the voice of Paddington.
There you go.
Is what I've learned. Okay.
So can I ask, you're sounding rather smug, and I know what mistake you've made. Now, did you know it was called Kiev? And when did you learn that information?
No, I knew it was the same place. What surprised me was the change. The change in the pronunciation surprised me. It's a bit like when a footballer comes over to England and joins for a club. And for the first 5 or 6 games, his name is said in various ways. And you wait for it to settle. That's what I did when I started to hear it being pronounced Kiev. I was thinking, well, it's definitely Kiev. I know that. There's a little bit of almost not quite trusting the people on the news, thinking, well, are they not saying it quite right? And then realizing, well, enough people have now said it in that way for me to realize that Kiev is no longer the way to be saying that city.
I think football is the perfect analogy for that, because I think for the first time when I heard someone say it, I thought, what do you mean Jermaine Genus?
Yes. And I bet your life, when he had his debut, there'd be those that had done their research, but some commentators would be going, oh, there's Genus. There he goes.
Genus? What are you talking about?
And you do. There are players that come over, they sign for a club, and for the first 5 or 6 games of the season, there's a little bit of, how do we say this? And then it might change even mid-season, where they're sort of like, oh, we've all been saying it wrong for half a season. Maybe the player himself has said, can we just please get my name right? I can't think of any examples off the top of my head, which would be, it's a real shame, but it does happen. We all know that happens.
Oh, I don't remember ones that actually got changed, but you should have heard it. Fulham have signed some fantastically named people over the years.
Yeah.
I used to relish going to away games, and we'd all sort of nudge each other when the home announcer was reading out the team sheet and he was about to hit Paul Pescasolino. The fumbling that would go over that. Also, we had Pavel Pogrebniak. That was always a good one too. He came over and scored about 5 goals in 5 games and was a legend for about 5 minutes, and then he fucked off.
Do you remember our old mate Paul Burrell?
Yes.
The radio, our old mate Paul. So for years he was the stadium announcer at Arsenal, and I remember talking to him when we first started working with him at the radio station, because I grew up with him doing the announcements at Highbury. I wanted his job when I was a kid, because I'd go to Highbury and there'd be this. To me, that seemed a fantastic job, that you played music at halftime and before the game, you got to announce the team, you got to announce who'd scored the goal. It just seemed to me, look, what a great job that must be. So I coveted Paul Burrell's job. And then when we got to meet him and know him, and of course we all know what a legend a man is.
One of the nicest men in the world, Paul Burrell.
Yes, one of the nicest men in the world, if not the nicest man in the world.
Could should be.
He should be prime minister. Let's make. Although I love Paul, but I wouldn't say organisation was his strong point. So maybe, maybe in high places of power wouldn't be best for Paul.
You get the feeling that during prime minister's question times, he'd be stuck on a train somewhere.
But I said to him one day, I said, how do you deal with all the different names? And he went, oh, they scare me. He said, luckily I've got someone I can go and ask, and I have to practice them a lot, because that would be for me, I would be exactly the same. That would scare me. I saw someone the other day on the news and they had quite a difficult name to say and they absolutely fucked it. And they didn't respond. It was awful. And there was no response to it. There was, her face didn't move at all. And I just thought inside, she's either going, fuck it, I don't care, it's a big name, of course I can't get it right first time, or she's now dying inside.
Oh, it's brilliant. I tell you what, this generator is working out quite well for us, isn't it?
Right, do we do another one?
Yeah.
Okay. How would you define success, Ben? Would it be financial success? Would that be how you would measure success?
I think I would define success by getting up in the morning and going to bed at night and filling the day completely with exactly what you wanted to do.
So how would you fill up your day then? What would be the things? So if you got up in the morning and you knew for the hours that you were now going to be out of that bed, you were going to fill that time with the things you wanted to do, what would you do?
Oh, I think, I don't know. I think it'd have to be quite varied to be the perfect day. I think I'd need to see a few mates throughout the day, go and do a few, maybe trips around sort of London foodie spots. That'd be quite nice.
Okay.
Maybe an escape game.
Yeah.
Pub afterwards for a few beers. Then back home, spending an evening with Mrs. Ben, maybe a few films, some gaming and more beers, I suppose.
Basically, it's just drinking, really, isn't it? It's filling the time between the acceptable hours of alcohol intake is what success means.
It's alcoholism with gaming. Yeah,
right, that's
and a bit of food, a bit of grub to line the stomach. Yeah.
What sort of grub? Because obviously you are a foodie. I mean, let's say this level of success that you have now got, where you can fill the day with the things you want, I'm assuming money is no object. Would you go for posh nosh, or are you still going for good quality, but not posh nosh, you know, proper like street food? Because I know you like to go and try stuff.
I do. I think I'd have more fun doing like Borough Market or something like that than going to a 5-star Michelin restaurant. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're very good, but I think I'd have more fun at these food markets and things.
Because I think the thing with posh nosh is, one, I can't stand the pretension that goes on around it.
Yes, I don't want anything sort of finished with a garnish of gold or anything stupid like that. I'm not into that.
And also, you don't want to go somewhere where you've got to wear a fucking tie and jacket to eat. Not interested in that.
No.
And also, those posh nosh places, you still leave hungry. It's not enough to satisfy you, is there?
No, not really. I mean, I don't want to listen. This isn't a criticism. Well, it is a criticism, but Jamie Oliver, I absolutely love him. I think he's a brilliant guy. His heart's in the right place. He does a lot of good causes, and he's an amazing cook. I've been to his restaurants.
Ben and Jamie in a tree.
I've been to his restaurants, and I left hungry.
Hungry.
I mean, they brought out the main course. And I mean, I had it finished in about a minute flat. And I mean, I have a big appetite and I'm a fairly big guy. But I mean, I wouldn't give that portion to a child.
Yeah, yeah.
Too small, Jamie.
I went to a really posh hotel. I think it was the Grosvenor, which is quite a posh hotel. It's for an awards ceremony, I'll have you know. Didn't win it. Left bitter and hungry. I mean, that was, and we had this three-course meal. Very posh, but I mean, nothing there. The main course came. I mean, it was like a spoonful of mash, and I mean, like a teaspoon of mash. Most of it was, you know, they swirl kind of, I don't know, wasabi paste or something around a plate.
Yeah.
Most of it was just that. Most of it was swirls of some sort of sauce I didn't fucking want.
No, and I imagine you wouldn't like wasabi.
No, it's not my thing. And I think the bit of meat that came with it, I mean, honestly, I don't know what bit of animal that was or what animal it was. I mean, it was the tiniest bit of meat I've ever seen presented on a plate. It must have come from, I don't know, other like dwarf sheep or something. I mean, it was just ridiculous. So I think you've got to go to places where the food is going to satisfy.
So what would your perfect, what was it, the definition of your best day?
Success.
Success. Yeah. Definition of success. What would that be for you?
Well, I mean, in an ideal world, doing nothing all day would be a great level of success in many ways. But I think...
doing nothing.
Oh, just laying about, lounging about. I mean, I like nothing more than loafing about on a sofa. And if I have a day of just doing that, I see that as quite a successful day.
So I could give you an empty room and a sofa and you would have your definition of success.
I'd need a TV. Need a TV. But yeah, comfortable sofa, a room and a TV.
Are you seeing anyone?
Don't have to. Don't have to see anyone. No, I mean, it'd be nice if a mate pops around. That's fine. I like to see people, but you know,
I'm pleased that your definition of success is so achievable. But it's a bit depressing. I'll be honest.
I mean, the other angle, if I'm on, from a professional level, creative success would be nice. Do you know what I mean? To really, I mean, if this podcast became huge, that would be great. You know, if we were up there with the big boys, with Adam Buxton and Richard Herring, then that would be success, wouldn't it? I mean, our level of success has always been in the lower echelons of the media world, doesn't it?
Still, we keep doing it every week. We'll never stop trying.
Even when it's just you and me left, Ben. Just keep doing it. Right, should we do one more?
Yeah, let's do one along.
Right. What is the first thing that you notice when meeting someone new?
What is the first thing I notice when meeting somebody new?
I'll tell you what mine is.
Go on.
Depending on the circumstances of that meeting, I do judge people on the strength of their handshake.
That is always a good indication.
I don't like a limp handshake.
No, neither do I.
Grab my hand. Grab it with force.
But there is a... There is a cutoff point where you feel like some people are going out of their way to try and hurt you.
Oh, yeah. And also, don't hold it for too long. There's got to be the perfect amount of grip and also an acceptable amount of time. Anything outside of those boundaries, I start to wonder about you.
I try and very quickly gauge someone's sense of humour.
Yes.
Because I have been caught out in the past getting this wrong and sort of saying a joke that I thought this person would like, and it turned out I was dead wrong. And some of the things that make me laugh are a little dark. So if you've got to be careful with that stuff.
But I mean, how do you start? Because you can't go in full dark. So you have to set a sort of what's. I mean,
you've got to build it up.
Yeah. So I mean, where do you?
I'm not going to say anything on this podcast to get myself cancelled.
No, I'm just thinking, where would you start? Because I've made that mistake making jokes before. I really upset someone. I don't believe I've ever been forgiven. I don't really know this person. So that was it was meeting someone for the first time. It was two groups of people that came together in a pub. We didn't know each other. But my mate fancied this girl. They're now married. But it meant the rest of us had to sort of talk to other people in her group.
Okay.
And because I felt it was all going very well, everyone was very comfortable. There's lots of laughter, right? I can't fully defend myself, but I had quite a bit to drink. And I thought, when asked that awful question by a lady, how old do you think I am?
Yes.
I thought, well, we can have some fun here. It seems like we're getting on. We can have some fun. So I just threw a few ages out. But being nice, you know, I was sort of... I was being on the lower end of the estimate. And then she told me her real age. And because I was at this moment of confidence, I thought, jokingly, I'd say, oh, you look a lot older than that. Now, I thought that would be funny. Wasn't.
No, but I don't know why women play this game. Because, I mean, what are they expecting us to do? I mean, are they just fishing for a compliment? Because they know most men are just going to lie and just go low.
Yes.
So they're just seeking a compliment.
Can we outlaw that game?
We should outlaw that.
If Billy Connolly becomes Prime Minister...
Or Paul Burrell...
One of the first things we get them to do is outlaw that game. No female is allowed to ask a male, how old do you think I am? Because that is all the other way. There's just a man can't ask a woman, how old do you think I am? Let's just rule that game out. Maybe we should all just wear our ages on a badge all the time. So we just walk around all the time, just go, I am 44. Every year you're sent a new badge, just like a tax disc, but for your clothing that just tells everyone how old you are, then there's no problem. I mean, I've got people who don't lie about their age. I know how old they are and they still lie about their age. And I just think, why are you lying about your age? No one believes you because you go ridiculous with it. So I think we should all have badges on. That's or have it tattooed on our foreheads and then have it updated every year.
Well, no. Tell you what would be simpler than having a tattoo that needs updating every year.
I went too far with the tattoo idea.
No, I didn't really think that through before I said it. It's just that you missed the glaring problem. You think you could just have your age tattooed on your forehead and every single year that goes by, you need to get laser removal treatment and have a new... Why don't you just put the date of birth on? It would be permanent, you idiot, rather than having to update the tattoo every year.
Let's just stick with a badge idea. Shall we finish this week with a quick quiz, Ben?
Yeah, can do.
Okay, this is a general knowledge quiz. Shall we see how well we do? They're all multiple choice.
Now, is this one where you can play along as well?
I can play along. I don't know the answers. They're not in front of me. I just have the questions and the four choices. Okay. And they look quite hard.
Right, let's do it.
Okay, question number one. A shadoof is for lifting what?
Are you sure you're pronouncing that right?
Well, I'll spell it for you. S-H-A-D-O-O-F. You see, this is like a footballer that's come over. And I'm going, oh, it's shadoof. Shadoof, he's left back now for Arsenal. And in about 3 weeks' time, we go, no, it's shadoof. That's how you pronounce it. A shadoof is for lifting what? Is it bricks, water, camels, or hot air balloons? Now, I'm tempted to say camels because it's got a sort of... Egyptian feel to that word.
Right. Okay.
You're in the desert, you've got your shadoof for lifting the camels. I don't know how often you have to lift a camel.
I feel like we'd have heard of shadoof if it was for water. I'd be embarrassed if it was for bricks, considering we used to be breakfast show presenters on a radio station for builders.
Yeah, never heard that word for bricks. Hot air balloon is lifted by...
It's just a wicker basket, isn't it?
And it's lifted by the hot air created by the gas, isn't it?
It's a terrifying bit of kit, the hot air balloon, isn't it?
I've never been in one. My brother went in one. He loved it, but I couldn't... I'd be worried...
So what's controlling us is this big umbrella with this hot air going into it. If that fails...
Why are you calling it an umbrella? It's a balloon. What it is in the title. It's not a hot air umbrella.
And if we plummet to our death, we've got all this protective wicker. It's great.
Well, what worries me, two things worry me about it, is one, you're at the mercy of the wind. I don't see any way of actually piloting that thing properly. Two, it seems to me, and I've been told that they're very high up those baskets in terms of your body, but I'd be terrified of just falling out. So no, I'd avoid hot air balloons at all costs.
So we'll go with camels.
Okay, we'll go with camels. Should we do the answers at the end? I've got the answer, but we can do them all at the end. Okay. Question number two. In the final of the basketball competition at the 1972 Summer Olympics, the last 3 seconds of the game were ordered to be played again, which resulted in which team being awarded the gold medal? I mean, they could have just asked who won the gold medal at the in basketball, but they didn't. Was it Cuba, USA, Russia, or Italy?
I have absolutely no idea.
I have no idea.
Nothing to base it on either.
I mean, USA Russia. Often win, don't they? You're going to go Russia. Well, you're going to side with Russia, I think. We're learning a lot
I'm not
about
siding
things.
With them. I'm picking them for this question.
The true right. Commie coming out.
USA.
We go USA. Okay. Question number three. What type of apple is on the Apple Records logo? Is it a Cox's Orange Pippin, a Golden Delicious, a Gravenstein, or a Granny Smith?
You know, I don't think I'd want to be friends with someone who knew the answers to these questions.
Well, I can picture that logo because when I was a kid, I had a song called Those Were the Days by Mary Hopkin on a record, and that was on the Apple logo. It's definitely a green apple. I'm tempted to say Granny Smith, but it could have been a Golden Delicious.
Okay, well, I'll go with you on that one.
We'll go Granny Smith.
These questions are ridiculous.
Okay, next question. Oh, I think we got this one's a bit easier. Who owned the News newspaper in Adelaide, diversified into the US, UK and Asian markets and started Sky TV in Britain in 1989? Rupert Murdoch.
Doesn't Rupert Murdoch own everything?
Well, it is. I mean, I don't even need to give you the others, do I? We all know it's, we all know it's Murdoch.
No, I didn't. Is that even a multiple choice?
There, I mean, I'll tell you the others. Kerry Packer, George Randolph Hearst. Or Michael Bloomberg, or George Randolph Hearst. He sounds as if he should have been a major George Randolph Hearst. If you need someone to lead an army, I'm your man.
Although I have heard of Bloomberg, Bloomberg News. But no, I think
he was a mayor of New York as well, wasn't he, Bloomberg?
Rings a bell, yeah. I think Murdoch is the sensible answer, considering he owns everything.
Okay, next question. Malik Sidibe chronicled what period of awakening consciousness, Ben? The 1980s in Zimbabwe, 1990s in Europe, the 8th to the 13th centuries in the Arab Islamic world.
Jesus Christ.
Or the 1960s and 1970s in Bamako, Mali. So, I mean, easy one, isn't it, really? We all know Malik Sidibe.
These questions do not match the level of this podcast.
No, I mean... And I mean, this question has certainly ratcheted it up a level, hasn't it?
to be honest, it's going to be
a guess, wherever we go.
I stopped listening.
okay. I'm going to say Mali.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why I'm going to say Mali. It's only because Sidibe sounds like it might have a French connection to the name. Is Mali a Francophone nation?
Have you forgotten who you're talking to? You're expecting me to clarify this for you?
I'm just going to say that it's 1960s and 70s in Mali.
Fine.
Okay. Two more to go, Ben. Which member country of the Council of Europe has the smallest population? Liechtenstein, San Marino, Andorra, or Monaco?
I can't answer this question, but I can tell you something interesting about Liechtenstein.
Go on.
It's one of only two double landlocked countries.
Well, what's the other one?
Well, I was dreading you asking me that because I can't remember.
Give me just half of the information.
I'll have it for you by the end of the podcast.
Okay. I think it's going to be between Liechtenstein and Andorra. It's probably going to be San Marino now, isn't it?
What are you basing that on?
I don't know. Just gut instinct, Ben. Sometimes you've got to go with your gut.
Okay, so which one are we going with?
Liechtenstein.
Okay.
Okay, last question. What is the lightest...
It was Uzbekistan, by the way.
Uzbekistan is the other double landlocked country.
There you go.
Wow. See, we've learned something new every day of school day. Last question. What is the lightest noble gas? Now, Phil, this is one we should know.
I don't know what a noble gas is, mate.
I'll give you the options. Xenon.
What's a noble gas? If you're going to pretend like you know, tell me what a noble gas is.
It's kind of like the aristocracy of the gas world. You've kind of got your North Sea gas. That's like the working class gas.
Deep down, you're as stupid as I am.
And then you've got the noble...
I admit it, that's the difference.
You've got the noble gases. They lord it about a little bit. They kind of got their little monocles on. Going, oh, I say, hello, Argon. It's lovely to see you in our private members club.
Go on then, what are the options?
I don't know why the noble gas is, Ben. I haven't got a clue. Is it xenon, argon, helium, or krypton, which I thought was a
krypton,
which I thought was a thing made up for Superman. well, helium's got to be the lightest, isn't it? You know, if you put something in helium, it goes up, doesn't it?
Do you think krypton's going to be the next sort of coronavirus variant?
Krypton.
Yeah.
Omicron and krypton.
That just sounds like some sort of Russian solicitors.
That's probably racist.
I'm gonna say helium. It's got to be helium, surely.
What? Because it raises balloons
and your voice,
or if umbrellas.
You suck a bit of helium, your voice goes up, doesn't it?
They don't.
Oh, have you done a bit of helium?
Okay, I'll go with helium.
You were going to say something there. It might have been interesting.
No, I was trying to work out which gas they use to burn to power hot air balloons or hot air umbrellas.
I don't know what they burn to...
Because it isn't helium, because you think about balloons floating with helium, but yeah. that's not the same principle, is it? That's burning hot gas because hot air rises yeah. to make it float.
See, again, I don't really want to be anywhere near it. Anything explosive...
It's not the Hindenburg. It's just a hot air balloon.
Right. Well, helium...
The Hindenburg was full of nitrogen, wasn't it?
Was it nitrogen? I mean, it went up, didn't it, quite quickly. It was pretty horrific, that.
Yeah, that wasn't helium. Even though it was a big floating balloon, that wasn't helium.
Right. Was it argon, krypton, or xenon?
Oh, the humanity!
This is the dark humor you're talking about. You've gone way too dark too quickly, Ben, if we're dealing with strangers.
Yeah, probably.
Although that's a joke probably lost on anyone, on most people under the age of 107.
You see, there you go. There's your starter joke. Old atrocities. Old yeah, old disasters.
Yeah. Too, soon. Too soon. What are we going with helium? Let's get this fucking quiz over.
Yeah, sorry. Helium. Right. That's my tester joke for helium. Right. In Hindenburg.
Right. Answers. As you do fist for lifting what? We said camels. The answer's water.
It is water, is it?
A shadoof is an early tool, a long counterbalance pole on a pivot with a bucket attached to the end of it.
I'm predicting we don't get a single question right here.
Well, let's see how we go on. Who won the basketball competition? I'm not going to go through the whole fucking question again. Who won the basketball competition at the 1972 Summer Olympics? We said the USA, didn't we?
Yes.
What did you want to say? You wanted to say?
Well, I was chastised for suggesting that Russia might have won something in the past.
Russia won it. We should have gone with that, shouldn't we? Right. What type of apple is on the Apple Recordings logo? We said Granny Smith. The answer is Granny Smith.
Oh, that's 1 point. Good. Well done.
Okay. Who owned the newspaper in Adelaide and went on to start Sky? Rupert Murdoch. Of course it was Rupert Murdoch.
Had to be.
Malik Sidibe chronicled what period of awakening consciousness? I mean, I don't even know what the question means, by the way. We didn't discuss that. What does that mean? We said 1960s and 1970s in Bamako, Mali. That's the right answer.
Well done, you.
He was a Malian photographer, by the way. Next one, which member country of the Council of Europe has the smallest population? We said Liechtenstein, didn't we?
Yes.
Which one did I say it probably would be if we got it wrong?
I can't remember now.
San Marino, because it is San Marino.
Of course it is. Yeah.
And what is the lightest noble gas? The answer is helium.
Oh, it is helium.
It is helium.
Good.
So what did we get? We got 4.
I mean, that sounds like a reasonable score, but I don't take any pride in it because it was all guesswork, maybe with the exception of the Rupert Murdoch question.
You didn't use Ask Trev at all.
How stupid of me.
Well, there we are. That's it for another Trev and Ben podcast. Before we go, a couple of recommendations for you. I'm going to recommend something that I've only just started watching, even though it's been on for something like 12 years or something.
Okay.
You know I like a good detective show.
Yeah, you do.
I've just discovered Vera.
Vera.
Vera, starring Brenda Blethyn, and they're all on the ITV Hub. And if you like a good detective thing, it's a good watch.
The problem with that is, now this is going to be a very specific reference, so anyone in the United States won't understand what I'm talking about. You said it's quite an old show, this, right?
Well, they've only just had the latest series on. It's been running a long time. It's still running, but I'm watching them right from the start.
I'm picturing Coronation Street's Vera Duckworth.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking old lady with a fag on as our detective, you know, northern, just trying to work out what's gone wrong.
No. I mean, she's an older lady from the north, I'll give you that. But
oh, she is an old lady from the north.
Yeah. But from Northumberland. It's a bit higher up, I think, than the Coronation Street. But
so I wasn't wrong.
And she's not
Vera
a smoker.
She's not a smoker.
Although she, first few episodes, there's a fair bit of alcohol being consumed. But anyway, well worth a watch. What have you got?
I've got a podcast. Mm-hmm. It's currently 11 episodes long. There might be more in the future. It's called The Great Post Office Trial. It's really good. It's 11 episodes long, as I say, but they're not long episodes. Some of them are 15 minutes. So I blew through the whole thing in a day. My dad recommended it to me after he listened to it. And it's a really interesting podcast, but it's scandalous.
Well, and it's still going on, this scandal, isn't it? It's still going on. It's, you know, some people spent time in prison for nothing.
Basically, a malfunction with the post office computer system wrongly flagged people up as being thieving from the post office, and people's lives were destroyed over
it. Which were hundreds of people.
Yes, that is the extraordinary thing, that there must have been 300 plus, maybe more, maybe 500 plus people who came forward, all declaring innocence, accused of the same thing.
Yeah.
And at no point did anyone with any sort of moral compass think, what's going on here then?
Yeah.
I don't want to say too much more because I don't want to give anything away. Like I say, it's 11 episodes, but you can get through it quite quickly because they're not all that long. And it's a really good listen. And I think the more people that know about this, the better, because it really is shameful and scandalous what went on.
And is that on the BBC Sounds app?
BBC Sounds app, yes.
Marvellous. Well, there we go. That's it for this week. Thank you very much for listening and downloading. Don't forget, you can get in touch with us anytime. We're at Trev and Ben on Twitter. And we'll catch you again next week. Till then, stay safe, stay well, take it easy.
Bye.